The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into a new week. Thanks for being with us. It's a big week. It's a very, very big week because Larry Fitzgerald's going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And as I look at things, I would say that this will be the crowning moment of your Cardinals for this season. It will be this coming weekend. Week one of the preseason will be the biggest news of positivity around your Cardinals this week. We have Jody Jackson coming up. It is trade deadline day for the Diamondbacks. They have done nothing as of yet. Jody has covered Larry just as I've covered Larry. So we're going to have Fitz stories. We're actually going to do a little bit of in the cards. I have some cards of Fitz's that we're going to screw around with. You know, just that's a bad boy right there. That is a bad boy right there. Ooh. Let's see, I've got another one here. These Fitz cards are, they're fun. So we're going to talk with Jody. And then John Wilner is going to be with us. In Wilner's segment, USC and Notre Dame have agreed to finally play each other again. I think that this is me growing up on the West Coast. Ohio State, Michigan's not as big a deal to me as USC, Notre Dame. So we're going to talk about rivalries with John. And also, why the name, why you should care about a name, Charlotte Sweeney. Charlotte Sweeney came into the news cycle this week. And why you should care about that, we will talk with John Wilner, all things on the college football landscape. Charlotte Sweeney is a judge in Denver. The 5-for-5 rule, what does it mean for players? If you have not heard about this, it's turning the college industry upside down. It's very good news if you're a U of A basketball fan. They have landed a player from Clemson who's terrific, R.J. Gottfried. So we'll talk with Wilner about that. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. If anything goes wrong with this show, it's Tyzik's fault, not mine. I am not going to sit here and whine about the Dodgers because there's no reason to. They're just doing their business. They get Scuba over the weekend, and this inferiority complex towards LA is just a little much for me. I experienced the same thing in San Diego growing up. It was always beat LA, beat LA. Who cares? And then the LA people are like, we're the greatest, we're the this, we're the that. Don't care. Just don't care. So the Dodgers gave up basically three of their mid-tier prospects, not anybody in their top two or three or four, in order to get Scooble, and other people could have gone out and done the same, but they didn't. And this is another clear indication to me that we are going to have a lockout this coming year. So the Dodgers are going for it. I can't fault them on that. I can only control what I can control, and that is that the Diamondbacks today are tied in the wild card spot with Philly, and that a four-game series starts tonight with the Padres with Brandon Fott. What I can control and what gets me really upset is when I don't believe that the organization is really going out there. I'm just checking to see if anything's happened while we've been on the air. There's just nothing's going on with the team today. And there's trades that are happening all around, not the biggest ones. And it may come down to the wire. That's how it goes. These things do go to the end. But I think that we've all seen that this team does need to do something today and not just say, well, we have all these players coming back and that's what's going to help us out. No, I don't buy into that. That's like 2 or 3 weeks of hoping. They're going to be on rehab assignments this week. They could have a setback. They'll get up here middle or end of next week. Then they've got to get adjusted and acclimated. And that whole time, you're going to hear the same thing. And by the way, they're playing 16 games against teams that are in the National League playoff race. 16 games. Starting with 4 with the Padres tonight, who are right on their rear ends. And then 3 with the Dodgers this weekend. So you can't keep throwing kids out there on the mound and expecting to get great results. You just can't. So I would like to see them. This is just, we see the need in the bullpen. We see the need at first base. So rather than, well, we're just going to go with what the cards have done. The price tag was too steep, this, that, the other. We can't afford to dump some of our prospects. You may not even have a season next year. So let's just get off that. Get a little tired of where things that don't come down because of excuses. So, and I'm not just saying, oh, they go and pick up a this or a that. No, it's a play. It's got to be a player of substance. I'm not just saying to make a move to make a move, but so far they've done nothing. Zero, zilch. We'll talk with Jody in a few minutes about it. The Mercury getting Kelsey Plum is interesting to me. In our market, in Arizona's sports scene, we have this thing for star players when they come into town. We just do. We're just wired a little differently. It doesn't really matter if we win or lose big. You know, I read these people that have grown up here in the Valley and they say, we just can't have nice things in Arizona. And they kind of laugh about it. And I don't know. I think having Kelsey Plum come in here is pretty darn good. One of the best players in the WNBA. She's not Diana Taurasi. There's no more Diana Taurasi. So let's just move on from that. Let's not sit here and say, well, she's not this. She's not. It's a really good player. And the Mercury haven't been good this season. You know, we have Devin Booker, who, by the way, has a book coming out. It's somebody that sent me a note about it. We're going to get Devin on the show here. You know, you look over at the Cardinals, and the latest flavor of the Cardinals was Marvin Harrison Jr. I think fans, media have spoiled on him, and now it's Jeremiah Love. Oh, he's the greatest. He's this. He's that. Oh, my gosh. Just let it play out. Please. Please just let it play out. So there's that's on my mind. And then Fitz going into the Hall of Fame. I'm going to talk to Jody in a minute here. And I am very excited to see where Larry Fitzgerald is going, not where he's been. I always enjoy to see the player when they turn into businessmen or women. When they're done playing, and what do they do with their lives? Are they lost souls? I get plenty of lost souls that call me thinking, oh, just come on the radio or come on digital or go do a game. It'll be easy. I'll make big money. And it's like, that doesn't work like that. So you see a guy like Adam Archuleta who grinded behind the scenes with us. And now he's been at CBS as one of their lead analysts for the last 12 years, and he had it in him. Some guys don't have it in them. Some people, they just want to cruise on in. Don't you know who I am? My golf game's great. You know, and I don't care about that stuff. Either there's people in our business that are actors, actresses, readers, and people who really know their stuff. Actors, actresses, readers, and people really know their stuff. And what I've found to be true in years of media is the people that really know their stuff is the smallest of the region. It's the smallest of the pie. Actors and actresses are everywhere. They want to get recognized buying broccoli at the grocery store. They want to have a billboard up. They want to put up on their TikTok what it is that they're going to wear on the set. For the most part, those people that I work with in media or have worked with or still work with, not here at Sports 360, we don't have actors and actresses and readers. They are just kind of there like the whole fame thing. Larry is one of those that, could he go into politics? John McCain poured into him. Could he go into sports ownership? Could he take over the Cardinals after Michael sells? We can only hope. Could he become the president of football operations with the Cardinals? We can only hope. But then Michael's still there. So there's just a lot of cool things around Larry that I like. And you can show the Super Bowl game and you can talk about all the memories. All that stuff to me, we're not the History Channel. We're not. It's what does the person become when they're done playing in the game? That's what I like. Jody Jackson on the Diamondbacks trade deadline and Fitz and then John Wilner. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, it is a big day. It's the trade deadline. And as we speak, Jody Jackson joins us for a few minutes. Always good to catch up with Jay, one of the valued treasures of sports media in a sea of unvalued. No, I'm just kidding. It's just good to see you.
Hi, yes, good morning. What a day it is. It's trade deadline day. The Diamondbacks are in a good spot. You know, this recent surge, they have one of the best record over this last couple of weeks in the league, barring maybe the Red Sox. So I'm expecting some movement.
I would hope so. I will be disappointed if we sit here and it is the same group. I am not one that says, well, the trade deadline is all these injured players coming back, because usually the injured players come back and there could be a setback. There could be they're not just quite right. So when I hear, well, they're going to get Gallen and they're going to get Nelson, they're going to get Jamar, they're going to get Lawler, and just go down the list of everybody, like, okay, that doesn't mean you don't do something today, right? Are we on the same page on this, or are you on that's the trade deadline?
Yeah, and I think that a couple things on that. You're exactly right. And a few of the guys, and Mike Hazen's been very – I mean, the good news, Brad, is Mike Hazen has said he's a little worried about the gap in between some of these guys coming back and right now, you know, because that's the interesting thing is you set, you know how baseball is, and you set this great foundation through the first like 110, 120 games, but you still have to keep pushing, you know, there, you know, you're not settled. You're not up by 20 games, you know, no one really is unless you're maybe the Dodgers, which even the Dodgers are feeling insecure. They always are, right? They're always a little insecure about what's going to happen. So look, Justin Martinez and Michael Soroka appear to be the closest, but they're going to go out on rehab assignments on Tuesday and they're going to build back up. And, you know, I think these two youngsters in Bratt and Cole Drake have done a nice job, and they've done a nice job surrounding them with the right, you know, the situations and their matchups and trying to get them through five innings. But, you know, you need a veteran there. So I think that's the biggest concern for me is, what pitcher can you bring in that isn't going to cost you a ton for like a rental situation? I mean, Casey Mize would be great, right? But, you know, for a rental, what are you willing to really give up? And then, you know, you do have Corbin Burns coming back, Ryan Nelson, Zach Gallen. How long are those guys going to take, though? We don't know. I think the left-handed bat is one that you have to do something. It doesn't have to be a huge name, you know, but it needs to be something, because that is not changing, right? You have Kepler now. He's not there for the postseason, but you, even with Kepler, you need more of an upgrade there. The one name that's being tossed around heavily this morning is Alec Burleson. Now, this is a guy that's got control for a few more years. And I just think, I don't know if the Cardinals would do that. They're trying to build a team also, and he's a good bat there, but there's some names that really make you have you salivating. But again, it's like, what are you going to be able to strike a deal with? Do they, you know, the competition between yourself and other farm teams, the Diamondbacks farm team is much better, but there's a lot of competition out there right now for these bats.
I cannot see the two youngsters going, what would it be, Thursday and Friday, I believe, or maybe it's Wednesday, Thursday against the Padres, but
you've got Fott, Erod, and then you get back into it with the two young guys.
So it would be Wednesday, Thursday. Yes. These are the games. The Padres have rallied back. It's great for long-term growth. We cannot be in a situation where this is great for long-term growth. I know I've heard that. It's one thing to be at Pittsburgh and another to be at Washington and a third to be at Cleveland. It's another to be at home with a team right in your division, a game back of you, where every pitch matters. And so I'm one of those, I do want to see a move made. Where are you at on the Dodgers? Like, I don't really care. I'm all about control what you can control. And you know what? Everybody else could have given up three minor leaguers that weren't the best minor leaguers, but nobody did because they're afraid they couldn't sign him. Well, is that a problem with the system? Sure it is. But yeah. I can't sit here and say, well, I'm going to hate on LA. That's smart. They're going to go.
Well, we're kind of always in the same boat with the Dodgers, right? And I thought Ken Kendrick said it well. You know, when they signed Shohei, and it's like, well, it's Arnott, you know, R9 fighting again. You know, I mean, it's a whole team, and injuries happen and things happen, and that's baseball. And what you hate about it when it goes against you is what you love about it when it goes against your opponent, you know, and you just don't know. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone was really surprised. I don't think so. We're back in the same boat. But just to your point on the movement in general, I will say this about what I've seen. You know, look, that it will never be the NBA, but players are more vocal. So to your point about the Diamondbacks making a move, Geraldo Perdomo came out a week ago and said, we need this, this, this. Yes. And Bryce Harper with the Phillies has said, we need this, this, this. They've moved for a rise, you know. So players, I think that, you know, and you can go inside the group and say, hey, look, you guys have 59 wins. You know, you guys are doing – but yes, they've made it clear. And so I think there is a little bit of fear of deflation. Plus, Mike, we know the story that Mike went in this year before July 4th, even. I think it was around July 4th, before they had that week in San Diego and LA. And he wanted to lay it out like, hey, we don't want to sell. We need you guys on board. So it was kind of an unspoken agreement there. Like, hey, you guys get us where we need to be and I'll help you out. So I am expecting some moves. You know, I am. And I think it'll just be interesting what it's going to be. And I think it'll come down to the wire. You know, I remember the year in 19 when the Gallen trade was literally at one, back when it was 1 o'clock Mountain Time. And now today it's going to be 3 o'clock. I think there's going to be a lot of movement. And I think a bullpen arm, because also this is that time of year where, you know, Thompson has not been as effective. We know what's happened to Seawald. Unfortunately, he's fallen off a cliff. And so you have to bring in, I think, one more bullpen arm.
Jody Jackson with us for a few minutes. It is a big week in the Valley sports scene because Larry Fitzgerald is going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So, Jay, I want to get some thoughts from you on a young Fitz. First of all, we brought the cards out just because
I love it.
Playing in the cards. This is young Larry at Pittsburgh. So when you think of Larry this week and him going in this week and this young dope shows up on our doorstep all the way back in 04, are you surprised?
You know, I'm really not, because every once in a while, you know, you come across one of these special players, and we've had a few of them, and Larry Fitzgerald is right at the top of the list, you know. And just the fact that, yeah, it's great seeing these cards, by the way, Brad. Love that. And he was. You never knew. You didn't know what he was going to be. I think that the cynics would have said, well, Dennis Green goes back with this guy. Is he just picking the, you know, he has this personal history. Well, it turned out to be a great move, the fact that Dennis Green had that personal history with that Vikings ball boy, Larry Fitzgerald. And I think that it was interesting to hear Fitz reflect. And you, I know you have heard him reflect on this too. Early on, you know, not being the guy he needed to be, not talking to the media or having to be grabbed, into a meeting because he was running late, or having to be taking him back to the locker room because he didn't speak to the media. And it's crazy because I almost forgot that phase of Larry Fitzgerald, because the ensuing years and as he grew as a player and a person, you know, he was everything you needed him to be, both on and off the field. I mean, this guy. So the fact that he almost erased that early memory, because he, and I bring it up only because he talks about it openly. And it reminds us that we all have grown, that, you know, we've seen him grow up right in front of our eyes. And then for him to come up in the biggest moments, you know, when I was being in Tampa that night, I still will not forget it, with 2:37 left on the clock. And all of us were huddled down under in the tunnel and kind of celebrating, to be honest. And still can't believe that, unfortunately, it was snatched away. And then for Larry to do what he did in 2015. I mean, so there's so many moments, you know, with the, and with that run with Carson Palmer and the great catch, the great shovel pass. So I'm just so excited for him that he gets to enjoy all of this and everything that's going to go on in Canton over the weekend. And he's just so deserving of all of it. And for us, he carries the flag as just a wonderful ambassador for the state of Arizona.
What do you think his numbers would look like if he didn't go through that phase after Kurt, before Carson? Because I'm sitting then with the late Larry Fitzgerald Sr. at games. You and I sit pretty close to each other at games. And Fitz Sr. would sit next to me, and there'd be times where he would grab my arm because he would see a ball, and I'm not going to name the quarterbacks, but you can figure it out, where it was in the wrong zip code, and Larry is going to get his head taken off. He went through a stretch there, Jody, where he just didn't have good quarterback play around him, where he could have been the all-time receiving leader, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the names, and these are all men that you and I know. Some are local, like a Max Hall and John Skelton. These are good dudes. But unfortunately, you know, no one could ever be that Kurt Warner until Carson Palmer came along. And we know that's what makes it special, a quarterback and a receiver. Like, it's a you know, symbiotic relationship. You have to have that. And yes, and that's another thing. I'm glad you brought up Mr. Fitzgerald. It was always so much fun to see him up there. And I'm really, I know it's bittersweet for Larry that his father won't be there, you know, but I do know that next generation with his son, Devin, inducting him, that's going to be very, very special. So yeah, I mean, I don't know what would have happened. And I think also that Bruce Arians got a lot out of Larry, which helped his career too. So that you look at both sides of that coin, like the real lack and the drought there with the lack of a solid quarterback. And then you look at how all of that got so much better with a really terrific offensive mind in Bruce Arians. So, you know, but yeah, no question, those numbers could have been more with Larry. And I'm sure he wonders the same thing.
I remember the last time I did a deep dive with him, and it's been about a year, and he did say he never signed his retirement papers, which now, you know, that's not a big deal because he's going into the Hall of Fame. But I'm more intrigued by what is he doing 5 years and 10 years from now. I'm always intrigued with how the guys adjust when they're not running out of the tunnel in front of 70,000 people. Some players become lost souls. Others go on and do big things. Larry's going to do some big things. It's just, is it politically? Is it being the general manager of the Cardinals? Is it Michael selling to Larry? I think there's just all sorts of things where Larry is going to live on here in Arizona.
No, I agree. And I just, it's interesting to hear that, because as much as we know that Larry knows the landscape of the NFL and he could play a prominent role there, I almost see him thriving in these, you know, non-football situations and the business side. He's always had a real zest for learning the business side of things. I mean, we saw his involvement with the Suns. We've seen his involvement locally, you know, with pickleball and different things. So the sky's the limit, right? I mean, he is a bright guy, and the beautiful thing about Larry is he wants to learn. Even now, you can see that he has a real passion for learning new things, and not just learning them, but being the best that he can be. So, I'm interested. And as for politics, you know, I guess you never know, but, it's so crazy nowadays. I don't know that I wish that on Larry Fitzgerald.
He was so close with Senator McCain, I think. And
yeah.
And that had an impact on what John poured into Larry. I do think there was an impact there, and it's just, you know, there is more to life than just sports, and it's hard to believe.
I think people like that, it's important, and they can, you know, sports is a great thing, because people, it's like people know you when they really don't, but they know a lot about you because they've seen you play for so long. So it gives you a little bit of an advantage that way.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Great seeing you.
There is Jody Jackson, and we're back with more after this timeout. John Wilner joins us for a few minutes, and we're super excited to have John on board, because John and I have been wanting to talk about Charlotte Sweeney all off season. Denver. We have just been waiting. Say, John, can you wait to talk about Brendan Sorsby or Charlotte Sweeney? And fans are like, who the heck are you guys talking about? We know about Sorsby. Who is Charlotte Sweeney? No, she's not part of North Carolina's investigation behind the scenes. No, she's not. She's the big name that I'm going to do the tease that we do in the business and say we're going to get to Charlotte Sweeney in a minute. But first, John Wilner with us. Notre Dame USC is back. It should have never gone away. What's the news?
Yeah, I mean, just happened before we started talking. USC announced a 4-game series with the Irish. Renewal of the rivalry, one of the greatest rivalries in college football. Starting in 2030, they will play early in the season, like week one, week two, season openers.
Yes.
Right? USC was not going to make the trip to South Bend in the middle of the Big Ten season, right? October, that wasn't going to happen. So the most logical resolution is the one they settled on, which is figure out a way to play early. The holdup was, you know, Notre Dame has got non-conference matchups scheduled. I think they might have Miami, a bunch of early season showdowns in the 2030s. So they were going to have to figure out a way to kind of maneuver their schedule to make this work. And evidently they did. I haven't seen all the details yet and whether Notre Dame has actually had to move other games to fit USC into week one. But that was the holdup, was Notre Dame, you know, or one of the holdups, Notre Dame already having non-conference games in September on the schedule.
Bigger financial win, Ohio State versus Michigan or USC versus Notre Dame?
I mean, Ohio State versus Michigan is the equivalent of an NFL, a good NFL game, right? It's 18 to 20 million viewers. It is the number one property in college sports regular season. And probably, I mean, you could argue that, you know, the CFP championship game, the Final Four, and then USC Michigan in terms of the value as a TV property.
Ohio State
Michigan as a TV property. It pretty much dwarfs every other regular season college football game.
So USC Notre Dame, does it move the needle for you? Like, is it better than Alabama Auburn? Is it better than LSU Georgia? You know, you look at these, like, no offense to Notre Dame, and I understand why they have to do it, but look, I don't get excited to watch Notre Dame against Purdue. I don't get excited to watch Notre Dame against Stanford. It's there in your own backyard, nice place to play. Stanford's environment is never very good for football. I get excited about USC Notre Dame. I really do.
And
two games are on at the same time, I'm thinking I'm probably going Irish Trojans, only because I'm a Southern California kid and know how much the big cigar alums of USC hate Notre Damers and Domers hate, hate Trojans. That's how it is, John.
It is. It's one of the top four, five, six rivalries in college football. Incredible tradition. Two blue blood programs. It would help if the Trojans were going to be really good every year, as it appears Notre Dame is going to be. But no, it is an absolute, you know, must see, circle the date game. And the fact that it was in, you know, October when it was in South Bend and at the end of the season when it was in LA, I thought added to the allure because it was there was a little bit of difference. But, you know, whether they're playing week one or week 13, I'm just glad they're playing.
John Wilner with us for a few minutes. We're all excited to talk about Charlotte Sweeney today. We've all been waiting through the weekend. I actually texted John, what was it, Friday night? Or yeah, it was Friday night.
Friday night, yeah.
You know, right about Charlotte Sweeney tonight. Yeah. I'm doing some things. Like, good. Go be a dad.
Yeah, yeah.
So here
you know
we
that scene. You know that scene in Anchorman when Will Ferrell, it's like 90 degrees out. He goes, milk was a bad choice. Well, for me, vacation, a two-day vacation with the family was a bad choice Friday and Saturday because holy smokes, a lot of stuff happened.
Okay, but for the layman out there watching, okay, we're still 3 weeks away from games. This is a pretty darn significant deal that a judge in Denver named Charlotte Sweeney turned college athletics, this isn't just football, turned college athletics upside down. Walk us through it.
Well, for now, because the NCAA has appealed, so we have to make sure we let folks know this is not final. Also, football this season, not impacted. Rosters are set, training camps underway. You're not going to all of a sudden see an influx of players into college football. But it will impact college basketball. We're already seeing it in Tucson, and I can mention that in a moment. But sure. Basically, the NCAA had imposed this 5-for-5 policy. Athletes get 5 years to play five seasons. There are no exceptions except for military service, church missions, and pregnancy. Okay. Well, obviously, they did not include the players who were seniors last season. So they went to court. And as often happens, they were successful. And a judge in Colorado, Charlotte Sweeney, ruled that, yeah, these guys can play. There was a lot of confusion as to whether it just meant basketball, football, you know, could guys who have signed NFL contracts decide, I want to play college football? The answer to that is no. But players, college basketball players and other sports who completed their 4 years of eligibility and did not redshirt, that's a key, you can't have redshirt, will be able to play college basketball this season. Arizona has already gotten a commitment from RJ Godfrey, who is a forward from Clemson last year.
Good player.
Good player. He's like, he'll help their front court for sure. He played 4 years, was out of eligibility. He is an example of a player who is now allowed to participate this coming season, pending the appeal. If you have redshirted, that means you had 5 years and played four. So you are not covered under this ruling. It's only players who played four seasons in a four-year span. But there's a lot of them. And I'm sure that some of them will become impact players this season.
Okay, the College Sports Act.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Another major development this weekend. Friday night, the SEC and Big Ten decided, you know what, we're gonna sign off on the bill that is currently in the Senate. So what that means is it will most likely get voted on this week. The Senate takes its August recess Friday.
Okay.
Got to get voted on this week. I would think that it will pass with 60 votes. And then it goes to the House and we'll see. But boy, that was a big change in approach from the Big Ten and SEC. They had been opposed to the bill for 2 months, I guess some adjustment in the language got them on board. The big thing is, well, there's a lot of big stuff, but the thing we should mention first is if this thing becomes law, teams will now have a separate pool of money to retain players. So they'll have $21 million for recruits and transfers, and they'll have up to $27 million to retain the players on their roster. It's kind of like what the bird rights in the NBA.
Right. First apron, second apron.
Yes. but the Big Ten and SEC had pushed for it, and they've got it. Now, that means $48 million is the ceiling for your roster, and that's a lot of money, and a lot of schools cannot afford $48 million. Most of the Big Ten and SEC can, so it's going to give them an advantage. There's other pieces to the bill, but we've got to say, we'll see what happens in the House, right? If it gets through the Senate, it goes to the House. Probably it will get some aspects of it will get changed. And anything that we should certainly point out, anything the SEC wants changed is probably going to get changed because the Speaker of the House the Majority Leader both are from Louisiana. And, you know, what LSU and the SEC want is probably going to happen.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insight. A lot going on. Have a great week. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
And we're back with more after this time out.